Hello, Great Minds. It's a day of the week, maybe even Tuesday, and that means it's time for Drinks with Great Minds in History, as we do the unthinkable, the unbelievable, the truly astonishing, at least for me, as we start Season 5 of DGMH. So, welcome to the show, everyone. If all things go according to plan, this will drop on April 9th, alongside the DGMH New Year episode. I think, hope, and plan that that will be the reality. But reality or no, I am your host, Mr. DGMH, otherwise known as Zach DiBacco, and today we are going to start this season of DGMH off the only way I know. A new, short history topic that hopefully connects to the season's theme, have a drink or two, three, and of course, talk about beavers. I would say that we talk an odd amount about beavers, but the point at which something becomes an oddity isn't really quantifiable, and by now, beaver talk is just a fucking fact of DGMH life. I mean, my love for that furry little critter is utterly unstoppable, as unstoppable a longing as was had by those pesky Franco-British furries that populated the early modern Atlantic world. Surprisingly, though, or maybe not at this point, I had no intention of coming into this episode scripting and talking about beavers, fucking again, but here we are. Is it a cop-out? Fuck no, it's a passion. This whole podcast, though, it's a passion, a playground, a place for fuckery on all levels, but money does help, which is why this season will continue to have short ads, starting with the first episode of the season on the DGMH New Year. Well, let's get to it. Beavers. We are not really going to talk about them again, but as I put on Patreon, beavers are back, baby. Yes, in the past year, England's first newborn beaver arrived, and the human populations are really worried about how they will coexist with their damned new neighbors. Well, at least one article hinted that, you know, maybe like three people gave two fucks about it, but still. Beavers were hunted to extinction in the British Isles and much of Europe in the early modern period. But they weren't the only animals supposedly expelled from the British Isles, which reluctantly, begrudgingly, and frustratingly includes Ireland. So we could talk about St. Patrick. I do love saints, saints' lives, and all the funny stories they entail. You know, from St. Patrick the Snake Slayer, to Santa Claus the D-Pickler, to the guy who talked to mice, to the one or two saints that slayed a dragon. Saints had some of the most fascinating, albeit total bullshit, life stories of any history out there. Fucking magical men and eventually women that did the most magical deeds in a time when magical deeds got most people burned at the stake. Especially women. Which always got me. I mean, Scotland executed and tried witches surprisingly deep into the modern era, as did other parts of Europe. But then they turn around and talk about fairies and magic saints like that's just oh fucking K. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. We've done saints' lives before, we missed St. Paddy's Day, so I'm just at a total loss. I gotta say, though, this is a personal record for me, 2 pages in, and I really had no fucking clue what we were going to talk about or where this script was going, but my fingers seem to be unstoppable at this point. But maybe no one really cares. Maybe I'm just talking to myself. But then again, in talking to myself, I would be in pretty damn good company. And I don't just mean because I'm fucking wonderful. Although I am. No, that's actually what you call a beautiful fucking segue, as there is one moment in history in which one man essentially talked to himself and fathered the foundational rights of the USA. Well, liberties, but we'll get to that later too. So let's get to it. The season 5 premiere, as we talk about James Madison, father of the US Constitution. But first, it's some history for you, a reason to drink for me. It's the history of the great minds that made history come to be. So what the fuck was I rambling on about? Beavers, check. Saints, check. And James Madison, not check. What will we discuss? Beavers and the War of 1812? That would make sense, at least with all the beaver talk in the beginning of the episode. I mean, it was the last of the great beaver wars. But nah, I'm not a fan of making sense. Instead, we are going to talk about the time that James Madison single-handedly duped two branches of the Constitution he cherished into doing exactly what he wanted them to do. Now, I won't lie. Honestly, I never lie on this show. It's like I tell my students, I don't know everything about history. I'm always learning, get over it. But I was shocked that I hadn't heard of this one before. In all the James Madison Bill of Rights stories you hear, all the work he did, I mean, this one really just made me chuckle. But let's be honest, James Madison was a force. the best and most important Federalist Papers, all Madison. The Constitution, so much Madison. The Bill of Rights, somewhat reluctantly, but as it would turn out, all Madison. Although Jefferson might have helped him reach the right conclusions about that. But the Bill of Rights, as far as I can tell, were the liberties and freedoms that Madison wanted, and he was sure to get them in the most hilarious of ways. Maybe you know where I'm going here, but maybe you're like I was, and you don't. And this one is one of those stories that requires a little bit of blind faith, or you can just disagree with the story's accuracy entirely, don't really care, as once I start, I can't be stopped. And neither could James Madison. But still, Madison was really one of those unstoppable forces in the early days of the United States of America. And more I find out how much of a reality this was as I fall deeper and deeper down that beaver hole. I mean, Madison's Federalist Papers are by far the best, and I'd say the most important, but also he was just fucking there. He was there in the founding years, there during Washington's years serving in, fucking leading Congress, serving at Jefferson's side as they formed the first political party, and then served as TJ's Secretary of State. And then finally he got his own shot at the top job, inheriting all of Jefferson's messes, which in a way I guess were also his messes. And it was Madison who led the nation as the White House burned to the ground and America won its second War of Independence. But for just a brief moment, we are heading back to those Washington years and a moment that really showcases the fact that Washington relied on brilliant minds to help him run the nation at every turn, reinforcing the simple fact that he was a good leader because he was willing to listen to those that maybe knew more than him. In this moment, we are visiting Washington's first days in the job as the Capitol was flooded with new leaders. Slowly. Very slowly, actually. Even today's subject, James Madison, who would quickly emerge as the voice of the House and the people, took his sweet time getting to New York City. And yeah, that was pretty southern of him. But yes, it turns out many of the great minds that made up the first elected body of government didn't really rush to the Capitol to start business, Washington included. In fact, en route to New York City, Madison actually visited with Washington at Mount Vernon. I mean, it's sad, but it took Hamilton the musical for me to realize that Madison and Washington really even knew each other, but as John Adams said, all Virginians are geese of a feather. Now, it also took Hamilton the musical to remind me how glamorized Hamilton's legacy really was. Meanwhile, I would say Madison's legacy is one of the most rushed over of all the founders and early presidents, overshadowed even in the War of 1812 by people not letting other people take ships, Harrison's Creek War win, and Jackson's post-peace victory at New Orleans. Again, Madison. Clearly I know some, but very little about him, even less about the things that he did. But there was one thing that he did that I really want to focus on today because it really was quite funny, and done in service of two other great minds, Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. The former was desperate to see an edition of a Bill of Rights to ensure the freedoms of the people, and the latter was kind of nervous and unsure of how to address his new government. Enter Jimmy Madison, who was about to live a ghostwriter's best day ever. Yes, in preparing his first address to Congress, his inaugural address, the inaugural address, George Washington turned to James Madison, who was said to have been right there with him finding all the right words. So Washington's first official government words were likely drafted by James Madison. But the details are even more important. Remember, America was born divided, and this was very true in the earliest days of the Republic as Federalist and Anti-Federalist continued to feud after the Constitution's ratification. In this case, many just saw the Bill of Rights as unnecessary. Hell, even Madison felt that way at first, and Tommy J reminded him how fucking stupid that was. So as Madison helped draft Washington's inaugural address, he snuck in a little presidential prerogative hinting that Washington would be just fine with the addition of amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Basically, G.W. said that the Congress should make use of the Fifth Article to amend the fuck out of the U.S. Constitution. Congress even responded to the address, saying that they would be sure to do it, and, in a wonderful twist of fate, that very response was drafted by the de facto leader of Congress. Yes, you guessed it, the response was drafted by James Madison. And unsurprisingly again, the President and Congress were all in written agreement that Madison's proposed amendments were definitely the best fucking candidates out there. So in essence, Madison drafted the presidential address that brought up the idea of amending the Constitution and creating a Bill of Rights, drafted the congressional response to the President about putting together a Bill of Rights, a Congress that he virtually led, by the way, and even solidified it with another response from GW himself, and then went on to draft the fucking Bill of Rights. And that is just funny. Annoyingly, the Bill of Rights have little to do with your civil rights and everything to do with your civil liberties. when someone says, I got my rights, and they're talking about guns or whatever it might be, that's actually a liberty, not a right, but either way. It is quite funny to picture Madison sitting at his desk writing all these letters back and forth to himself day after day after day to build America and create the Bill of Rights. Only in America can you find this fuckery at its finest. So as we wrap this up, I will say James Madison is known as the father of the U.S. Constitution, which is probably fair and accurate. But given what I have recently learned, I'd say there's no question. When it comes to the Bill of Rights, Mr. Madison, you are the father. And when it came to getting what he thought was best for his child that was the USA, it seems like Madison really was an unstoppable force in the early years of America. A true Karen of the early Republic. Well, that's our story on James Madison, so let's wrap this one up. With themes and format. So what do you need to know about Season 5? Well, I've hinted at it a few times, announced it on Patreon, and even said the word a few times in this episode. Unstoppable. Yes, the theme of Season 5 will be unstoppable figures that cannot be defeated by society, by world leaders, by the people, by ideas, by whatever would try to defeat them. Hell, sometimes these figures even seem to fail, only to emerge bigger and badder than they were before. But this season isn't going to be filled with long-winded tales of great minds, but instead reasonably lengthy episodes, like this one, that tell the unstoppable stories I want to showcase, five in total as we count down to Great Mind number 25. Yes, that's right, Great Minds, we are approaching Great Mind number 25, someone I consider to be truly unstoppable, a revolutionary wolf, a titanic force for independence, and someone who will be revealed at a much later date. But Mr. DGMH, only one great mind? Oh no, no, fuck, were you listening? Four unstoppable stories and one full great mind saga. Plus a fucking countdown. Yes, great minds, on this season of DGMH, Mr. DGMH is counting down the top 24 great minds from Cortez to Catherine to Teddy to Zumbi, and all the murderers, traitors, and lovable bastards in between, until we finally reach the great mind of season 5. Great Mind number 25, an epic badass for the ages, a truly unstoppable figure. Plus, I have every intention of having your favorite guest and Luke on to question every judgment I make. So yes, season 5, for more reasons than I can count now, will not be your typical season of DGMH, but when we drink this much, what really is typical behavior? Yes, it will be more of me, less shots, plenty of shots, but less psych, and still some chats, as the Shots crew makes regular appearances to no doubt critique every decision I make. And if you don't like what I'm doing for season 5, I would remind you of the words of another truly great mind, Luke Franchuk. It's my show. I can do whatever the fuck I want. But either way, let's rate a drink. I have read that Jimmy Madison loved a glass of champagne, but preferred to always drink in moderation. Love the first part, not a fan of the second point. Still, I'm no snob, I'm not drinking formal French champagne from Champagne, but instead a nice Aldi Prosecco, because I am pure class. This is actually called Pear Secco, and it's my new favorite of the summer. Crisp and dry with a hint of natural pear flavor, these are fucking delicious. I mean, they are the perfect drink poolside in the Florida heat, which is on its fucking way here. And I even put it in a little champagne flute to keep it classy. Obviously, Wicked Grove isn't probably the best quality champagne, but fuck it, it tastes pretty good. 5 points for taste. Price, of course, depends on the region, but it's like a $6 or $7 price tag for 6 to 8 cans. I guess I could have done a little more research on that, but regardless, it's a 6 for price for sure. That's just the Aldi way. Finally, returnability. I've already went back for 3 packs of this stuff. Even Mrs. DGMH likes it, but it doesn't seem to always be there or around all year long. So let's say it's a 5 for return, as it can be hard to get your hands on at times, especially because it's so good and popular. That brings us to a score of 16 out of 18 points and 6 crowns for this Aldi Pear Secco. There are other flavors there too, which you can try, but this one had the lowest sugar count, which you know I'm always looking for at summer season. Well, that's it. If you enjoyed this episode of Drinks with Great Minds in History, then you would fucking love Patreon land. Over there, we talk about all sorts of wild topics from skunk apes to bear-fighting Portuguese kings to future-telling turtles, plus what I'm teaching, where I chat about the topics I'm currently teaching and how. And then there's Cullen Chats China, Pete Chats Portugal, a moment with Mr. DGMH, a moment with my high school history teacher, and a whole unfolding series on the mess that was the 30 Years' War, plus pregame chats and a few other things along the way. And I'd say it's worth it. If you agree, leave us a great 5-star review wherever you listen. Why? Because it makes me feel fucking special, that's why. And on another surprising note, I actually did the job I set out to do, and so you be sure to check out the DGMH New Year episode, also out today, as Cullen, Kelly, and Luke join me to reflect, chat, and unbeknownst to them at the beginning of the episode, do a DGMH quiz show. You can all play along right with us. Welcome back, Great Minds, and cheers.